Ian Bass, a very, very good morning to you. The future of work, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. And you, Howard?
Excellent.
I was waiting for you to tell us how many days we got left till Christmas with all the countdowns.
I don't know. There are so many numbers going around.
I know.
It's you know what? I'll tell you what it is. And in fact, it's a terribly sad story. But I had some years ago, my uncle was very, very ill. He was from South Africa, but he had gone to America for treatment. He had a brain tumor, and we kind of knew that he was never coming back, and it wasn't going to end very, very well. And I had to go to Mexico on a business trip, and I arranged to go via New York where he was, so that that I could see him, knowing that that it would probably be the last time that I would see him. And he was quite a strong-minded guy, and the whole way through my time with him, I spent a morning with him. Every few minutes he would confirm what day of the week it was. And it was quite sad because he was sort of holding on to this reality. Like, he knew that he needed to know for himself where he was at, because it was a brain tumor, and he knew that it was affecting his brain and his power of recognition and of knowing where he was at. And I feel, to some extent, all of our counting and all of our numbers and all of our dates is us just trying to grasp reality before it all slips away from us.
Interesting.
Is it too deep and heavy?
No, I like it though. I like it. It keeps us grounded and like just living in the moment.
Yeah, because and we kind of count, and we know this is, we're on the 5th day of the Omer, and we're on the 19th day of lockdown, and it's the 14th of April, and it's the 20th of Nisan. Like, we need all of these numbers just to say, right, we're still here. Mm. This is where we are at, and this is our global picture, and we get it.
Look at you going all deep on us.
Deep, eh?
You're
Jeez, who would have ever thought on a Tuesday morning at 8:40 during lockdown,
with no 19th
carbs. Day of lockdown, and with no bread. I wouldn't say no carbs. I think that would be a bit of a stretch. So what do you think, Ian?
Geez, how that's a tough act to follow. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't even know where that came from. But that's my thought, because it isn't easy out there, Ian. And one of the things we wanted to chat about is that, in great likelihood, whether we want to talk about it or not, people are financially very, very worried. March, people on the most part got paid, and they got paid their regular salaries. April, it's not so simple for many people, and which means that during May, things are not going to be particularly easy. And even if and there are the lucky ones that are going to go back to work, what about people who are losing their jobs during this time? How do they deal with that psychologically and emotionally over this time, let alone the practical side of it?
So, Howard, this is a very uncertain time for all of us, and not just in terms of our jobs and that, but our families and the way we're living now and all of that. So we've like literally got, I don't know if you can call it a perfect storm, if that's the right term to use in this context, but the one that's playing on a lot of people's minds is probably the worst thing that can happen to you under normal circumstances is losing a job or feeling that you're being disappointed in yourself because you feel that you're not valuable or worthy. And the one thing I want to tell the listeners is that during this time, everyone needs to understand that you are not your job. I know we say it often, and we tell people that you are more than that. And it's not a sign of failure. I think everyone needs to realize that we're in this together. I can talk of personal experience where contracts were canceled because of circumstance, because we just couldn't go into the companies and do the work we were supposed to do. So weathering the current economic chaos and is now coming to a head. And when I say that is, I think our health ministry have led by example last night. The story wasn't sugarcoated, which I'm delighted about, because I think to set false hope is wrong as well. But it now requires a response from business, and it requires a response from leaders. And as individuals, it's time for people to stand up. So I'm not trying to say that it's going to be easy, but I'm saying there are going to be opportunities. And if you feel very overwhelmed and frustrated, that's fine. You can feel it. But I'm very excited in certain ways that we have to respond now to what we know is going to be a very challenging time going forward, but at least we have some certainty.
Yeah, it's and I think maybe the thing to also start doing, and as you were talking, I was thinking that there's also things are changing and there are different opportunities, and maybe what one has to do is look at those opportunities. So maybe if I am a handyman or a, you know, somebody that's used to helping people fix things in their homes, maybe I've got to morph a little bit and say, okay, you know, for the next couple of months, a lot of people aren't going to be able to go out. A lot of people aren't going to be able to do some of the basics that they have been doing, themselves for the last while. Maybe that's where I need to broaden my scope of what I do in order to help people. Maybe if I'm in another area, if I'm a teacher, maybe I need to start saying, right, now I'm going to start looking at the kids that are writing matric, or I've got a son doing GED. Maybe I'm going to find a way to start helping kids that are working online and start doing a lot of my lessons that way for the next few months. In other words, take the situation, because that's a given, and work from there. I keep recalling the story that was told in, and I'll think of the name of the book in a minute. He was that conductor. He is that conductor that came out for the Jewish Achievers. Remind me of his name, Ian, if you can remember. He wrote the book about opportunities.
Yes, I carry on talking. I've got his name. It's coming.
Right.
It's coming
okay.
To me.
So anyway, him and his wife wrote this book, and she tells us an amazing story about how she took a weekend to learn to ski, and she goes to improve her skiing by herself, and off she goes for a weekend to this resort. And the first time she goes out on the slopes on the Friday, she sees there's quite a bit of ice. Now, for anyone who skis, that's quite a problem. You want the snow, you certainly don't want the ice. And she braces against the ice, and then she tries it again, and she tries another slope, and she comes back to her hotel, and she thinks to herself, you know what, this is silly. She'll come back, rather. It's not going to work for her to learn to ski like this. She'll come back at a time. Thank you, it's Ben Zander. Thank you, Ian.
Welcome.
She'll come back at a time when there's more normal skiing conditions. And then she has this epiphany, and she says, hold on a minute. What happens if normal skiing conditions are skiing conditions with ice and snow? I've just got to learn to ski with it. So now she's redefined normal skiing conditions as that of there being ice on the slopes. And she goes back onto the slopes, and now she's not fighting the ice, because that's part of normal. And she learns to ski, and she improves her skiing with ice. And I feel that to some extent that's where we're at. We've got skiing conditions that no longer just have snow. And to be fair, South Africans have been dealing with a lot of ice, in inverted commas. Now we've got this additional ice that exists everywhere in the world, but we're just going to have to learn to ski with it, because it is now normal.
Absolutely. And Howard, I couldn't agree with you more that as soon as we start to accept that, and we can move forward, as difficult as it may be, and we all know that change is difficult, but as soon as we can accept that this is the new normal, and we are going to emerge, and we're already emerging, it's not even a case of we will emerge. We have emerged into a new era, a new economy, a new I'm calling it now the low touch economy, where we're gonna look at things very differently. As consumers, we're gonna behave very differently, and businesses are gonna have to adapt. And that means for everyone, Howard. It means from the handyman that you speak about right through to right through to your professional large corporate organizations. This affects everyone. And I think that goes back to the point is that if we collectively work together from a business perspective and we support one another to evolve into this low-touch economy, we'll be successful. So, Howard, if I may, I've got a very quick methodology that I'm putting together. I'm happy just to share like the first two or three, because I think those are the only things that we can really focus on. But if people are really struggling at the moment, what I would do is I'd say you need to sit down and assess the impact. You have to sit down and understand some of the things that are happening in the environment and what the coronavirus and COVID-19 and lockdown and all of this has caused us, and what is the impact on industries around you, on your consumers. And then you need to start from a business perspective. You need to look at your customers and you need to understand how they're impacted and how can you support them in the mid to long term? Because I think for the foreseeable future, and I say the foreseeable future being between now and probably the end of the year, if we're using timelines, that's really what we're going to do is we're going to have to manage, assess the impact and manage accordingly in a bit of a haphazard way, but we are going to have to manage. And then I think what you can do is you can also start developing your strategy around what you're seeing. You know, I've seen a lot of people that have already started to reinvent themselves because they've seen opportunities. And that's how things are. People sometimes see opportunities quicker than others. But the quicker you can see opportunities and the quicker you can see how you can support people, if you can service people, you can grow a business. So I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I keep reminding everyone it's not going to be easy, but you have to start with somewhere. So I would say over the next few days, the next few weeks, is assess the impact on your business and start developing a strategy around this new normal.
Ian, good morning again to you. The other thing that's obviously important at this stage is to make sure that you are employable, that you are up to date. Maybe take the time, if you suspect that you might be being retrenched or losing a position, to update your CV, to update your LinkedIn profile, etc.
Absolutely, Howard. And I know that in the past, people have been apprehensive about going on to platforms like LinkedIn. However, we're in a time where we don't really have a choice. And I'm saying LinkedIn is one of them, but there's so many out there. And the point is you have to make yourself, as you say, employable, but you also have to make yourself visible. And the reason being is because we're in isolation. So you can't just rock up and go and have a cup of coffee to introduce yourself to Howard and say, hi, Howard, I'd like to have a chat. So you have to almost hook people in to what you are. And I would say if you're going to start, if you're going to take 15 minutes of your day, spend those 15 minutes wisely. And if you are looking at wherever you promote yourself, and what I say, wherever you promote yourself, if you promote yourself on Facebook, if you promote yourself on LinkedIn, or wherever, whichever online platform you're comfortable with, spend those 15 minutes on creating a summary and make sure that aligns with your target audience. So make sure you're talking to the people that you want to employ you or want to make use of your services. So for me, the most important thing is to spell out your strengths and experiences. This is not a time for humility, and I say that with a lot of respect, but you need to tell people what you're capable of, and rather tell people about the types of projects or the types of jobs that you've been successful with. And you can tell a nice story about yourself and ask the people around you, ask your spouse, ask your partner, ask your kids, anyone, what are my strengths? What do you see as valuable? And write those down. And I think the more you start sharing that outside, people get to know you. And that's uncomfortable for people in a way, because marketing yourself is probably one of the most difficult things. But at this time, it's important. So I would say to listeners, if you're sitting and you've got 15 minutes to spare, rather than get into the negative and worry, take a piece of paper or go onto a site and just start writing your summary and put your value into words.
Absolutely. It's such an interesting topic, because there's such a balance between humility arrogance and actually even understanding what humility really is. I think we have a false understanding of that concept. Ian, unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. What is happening? You don't have a show tomorrow because it's a Jewish holiday.
Yeah, that's correct. Because I know my listeners are going to be upset because I'm not going to have a show tomorrow. So what I'm doing is I'm doing something a little bit different tomorrow. I'm actually going to be doing just after 9 a.m. this morning. If you go to the Facebook page, the Chai FM Facebook page, I'm going to do a Facebook Live. So that's also quite new for me. So please bear with me. It's very different from radio. But I'm going to share something with the listeners, which I think is something awesome that can keep us occupied and keep us connected during lockdown. So if you're interested to know of my secrets to keeping myself occupied and connected with my family, join me on Facebook Live on the Chai FM page just after 9 a.m.